at it. That is the reason to keep it up. The harvest has not yet come, but we can trust the Lord of the harvest to bring in the harvest. As we consider the 4x4 challenge today, and my prayer is recommit ourselves to it and working through it and trusting the Lord to use it, I want to ask us to look at a passage of Scripture from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. We'll start reading at verse 25. Acts chapter 8. We'll begin reading at verse 25. If you need a pew Bible, you'll find it on page 710. Just to make it simple for you. Acts chapter 8, let's stand together to honor the reading of God's Word this morning. So, when they had solemnly testified and spoken the Word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the Gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." So Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And then verse 37, which some of you may not have a verse 37. We're not really sure it's original to the text. But if you have it, it says this. And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord, and you may be seated. And if you want to know more about verse 37, you're not sure about that, ask me after the service. I'll be glad to talk to you about it. But I don't have time for it in the sermon. So, the first step in the 4x4 challenge is to identify people. We want to identify people. Matter of fact, on the back of your card, you know, on the front side it says 4x4, and it gives you the four I's, identify, and on the back is four blanks. And so you can fill that in, double fill it. If you've got one name, good, go with that. But the first step in the 4x4 challenge is to identify four people. Four people who are lost without Jesus, or you at least do not know their spiritual condition. You don't know where they are spiritually. You're going to seek to discover that and discern that and come to that place. In our text today, we find that to see some things in this story between Philip and this Ethiopian man, some connections there to this 4x4. Philip identified the man as the Spirit pointed out the man. Which is a good thing for us to see, is we need to trust the Spirit to direct us to people whom the Spirit is preparing, and then they are receptive to what we have to say to them. The Spirit is preparing them, the Spirit's getting their heart ready to receive the gospel and is directing us to them. So we've got to trust the Spirit to lead us to people. On the other hand, don't use that as a cop-out either. Now, by that I mean, don't think, well, don't just kind of shrug your shoulders, throw your hands up, and go, well, the Spirit's not led me to anybody, so I don't have to talk to anybody. Let's be more sensitive to the leading of the Spirit than that. Trust that the Spirit can lead us to people. So, if we're not being led to people, not being drawn to people whom we don't know who they are, let's not necessarily blame that on the Spirit. Perhaps we need to be more sensitive to the Spirit leading us, trying to direct us to people. Now, maybe sometimes you're like me. I won't say you are like me, but sometimes you're like me and you're just kind of hard-headed about what the Spirit's trying to tell you. And so you miss some things along the way. And it can happen to every one of us. It happens to all of us. I had one of those this summer at Hands of Hope at the block party. Lady came along, asked some questions, and I was talking to her after she walked away. Man, Lord just brought me somebody, and I blew it. I kicked myself many times over, and I asked for forgiveness because the Lord told me, brought me one. Now, as Philip identifies this one being led of the Spirit, there's an interesting thing in verse 26. Because it says, and it's translated, most places it's translated, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, here's something that's really interesting. At least it's interesting to me. I hope it'll be interesting to you by the time we get done. Is the word that we translate south from the Greek New Testament. And this text has the opportunity, the word has the opportunity to either mean south or midday. Now, I don't know about that, but those are two quite different words from the same word. You know, south, midday, about noon. How in the world did we get those two words out of that word? I'm not real sure about that. I didn't have time to research all of that and figure that out. But it's often translated south. What if it's translated noon? About noon, he said, go to this road. I wouldn't have to say south. He's going to get it, the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, because it's going to go south. Doesn't have to say south. It's going to go that way about noon. Well, why does that make a difference? Because it makes the story even more dramatic. Now let me explain that. Because about noon, there would not be very many travelers on the road. And this is why. It's hot in Israel. It's hot most of the year. We were there, I was there in January. Maybe a couple of times I put on a light jacket early in the morning. But most of the time we wore short sleeve shirts in the middle of winter. Now, granted, most of us came from Wisconsin and Minnesota where it, you know, 60 was downright balmy at that time of the year. We hesitated to tell anybody at home what the temperature was. So all of that kind of stuff. And that's in winter. I mean, right now, whoo, it's hot. And so, in that day and time, you know, you didn't have air-conditioned cars or air-conditioned buildings and all those kinds of things. So, about midday, noon, when it's going to be really hot, people weren't going to be traveling. They would have gone and found the shade somewhere. They would stop for a period of time until they get beyond the hottest part of the day, and then they continue their travels. But about noon, he tells him, the Spirit prompts him to go to the road, a road that's probably basically vacant. But here's this Ethiopian man. Pretty cool, huh? The Spirit leading and prompting, if we'll follow the Spirit, it may go against conventional knowledge. It may go against what we common sense things that we think ought to work and the way it ought to work. But the Spirit knows what the Spirit's doing. If we'll listen, we'll obey, we will follow. So he shows up about noon and he encounters this man traveling when everybody else is probably hiding from the heat. So Philip teaches us when when the Spirit is prompting us to identify people with whom we need to build relationships and make connections, to follow the leading of the Spirit to do so. The second step in the challenge is to intercede for the four times a week. So we identify and then we're going to intercede. We're going to pray for them. Now, did Philip intercede for the man? Well, you know, Luke doesn't have to space to give us a blow-by-blow of every element in this story, I don't think. Luke writes two books, and I forget what percentage of the New Testament he writes, but it's a pretty large percentage in two books because they're both long. So he doesn't have room. He's running out of room. He's trying to give us all of this information. But I want us to imagine this experience as though it's happening to us, as though it's happening to you. And the Spirit of God is giving you clear direction to do something, and you're in the process of trying to be obedient to it. Don't you think you're going to pray? Especially if it's something out of your character and something you're not accustomed to doing. And, you know, all of a sudden you're going to out there on this road at midday when it's hot and nobody's typically going to be there and you're just obeying the Spirit. Don't you think you're going to be going, okay, God, show me something. Let's do something here. If nothing else, you're saying, Lord, help. Right? Are y'all with me? Some of you worked really hard yesterday. Don't wait. Wait a little later for your nap. Hang on. Nah, you're not sleeping. Think about Nehemiah. If you don't know the story of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. In other words, he has to taste all the wine to make sure it wasn't poisoned. Isn't that a job you want? Well, the interesting thing is if you're a cupbearer to the king and he trusts you enough to take care of his wine so he doesn't get poisoned, you also become his confidant. He tells you a lot of stuff. And you have great access to the king. You're always around. He's going to drink wine. He needs you to taste it, make sure it's all okay. He needs you to assure that the wine is good for him to have and nobody's trying to poison him as the king. All of those things, you're going to be around him a lot. But Nehemiah had received word that Jerusalem had been destroyed and was in shambles. And he was in prayer about that, and he was fasting about that. And finally, one day in front of the king, it showed up on his face. Well, if you're in the presence of the king, you're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to at least look it. Be a good actor or actress if need be. But don't come in sad in front of the king, because the king didn't like sad people. But because of their relationship, he inquired of Nehemiah, "What is the deal?" Using 21st century language for it. What's the deal? Well, Nehemiah, who had already been praying, prays again quickly. And it indicates to us that he prayed. Some people call it the arrow prayer. Short and sweet, to the point. And then he tells him truthfully what's going on with him and what is happening. And the king responds and helps him to go on with the story. You can read that this afternoon if you want to in the opening chapters of Nehemiah. Well, that's what we can do. We can be interceding for people four times a week. We can be maybe even fasting for them occasionally. Some of you are probably thinking about you're hungry and what's for lunch already, and the pastor just mentions fasting. Well, that's what Nehemiah did. But yet we need to... What it is, the point we need to understand in the 4x4 challenge is we're going to intercede for people four times a week is we need a routine, a system, a deliberate routine of praying four times a week for them. I mean, you can make it Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Okay, those days I'm going to pray for my four. Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, I'm going to pray for my four. I'm going to spend time praying for them. I'm going to lift them to the Lord and ask God to be at work in their lives. Ask God to help me connect with them. Some of the people on my list, I don't even really know where they are yet spiritually. I've not gotten that far. And quite honestly, my praying needs to be more about that I can get into spiritual conversations with them so I can find out. But we've got to pray for people. We've got to pray. I believe as we pray, and if we'll increase our praying, we're going to see a movement of God and we'll see things happen. I believe that. But we have to live it out. Well, the third step in the challenge is to invest in the life of your four times a year. To invest, it says, in your four times a year. Now, you may think, well, invest. What does that mean? How am I going to invest in them? You know, it could be something as simple as having a cup of coffee together, at your favorite coffee spot. You know, Caribou on 2nd Street, Southwest would be a good place, right? Over there? Yes. I got a fist bump out of that. All right. That could be a great place. A number of other places. You know, whatever, doing something like that. Maybe having them over to your home for a meal. Watch a ball game, go shopping together, if that's your thing, that's what you like to do. Maybe they've got a project at their house, they need your help, and part of that is, as you pray about that, is you pray, how do I invest in them? And trust the Spirit to show you. Find creative ways, whatever it is. It doesn't have to cost you, money. I mean, you can do this or that and the other, simple things. That it could be. It may be your neighbor next door. Maybe it's an elderly person down the street, and the leaves are starting to fall. Although it feels like summer today, that the leaves are starting to fall. They need help taking care of the leaves, and you're going to go help them, and they don't have to pay somebody. That's your way to invest in them. Well, we find Philip investing in this man in this short story that we find of him. We find Philip investing in him. Now, Philip is being obedient to the leading of the Spirit. He goes to this road, and we're thinking it's possible that it's midday. They're the only ones on the road. And so Philip approaches the man on his chariot. Now, if you're thinking Ben-Hur in speeding horses pulling a warrior chariot, you've got the wrong image of chariot here. Just want you to know. Now, if you're like me, that's where your brain went when you read the story, because you're like, whew, all right, galloping, speeding away. And I've often thought, how do you do that? Because I don't know about, I can't keep up with anybody, when we're running. I'm in trouble. So to think, oh, you got this, war horse pulling this. I mean, after all, he's kind of, he works for the Candace. She's the, it takes care of her treasury. That's a trusted dude. He's probably got some means. Well, you need to think more about oxen and wagon. That's what you need to be thinking more of. More so of that pace. Besides that, he's reading. How could you be reading in a warrior chariot? Going too fast, bouncing around, all of that stuff. So think of an oxen and a wagon, ox cart kind of thing. At a pace at which a grown man like Philip gets up beside it can keep pace with him. But here's another place where you have to trust the leading of the Spirit. It's not common. Matter of fact, it would have been very uncommon for a person on foot to approach somebody on a wagon, a chariot, because the person in the wagon and the chariot is of a higher social standard because they have the means to be riding in a wagon and a chariot, and you don't have those means, so you're on foot and you didn't cross those social boundaries. But when the Spirit prompts, obedience is best. And we see Philip giving us a great example of obedience, but you miss it if you don't get the cultural circumstance in which he's operating. He is working out of a cultural context. I mean, he's working in a cultural context, but he's not following it. And he walks up beside the man, and he can hear, and he hears the guy reading out of the book of Isaiah, and Philip would hear it. It would sound familiar to him. And because he takes this risk to walk up beside him and to approach the man, the door opens. The door opens to invest in his life. Now, as I tell the rest of this story, let me go ahead and and put in the fourth element, which is to invite. The fourth step in the 4x4 challenge is to invite them to Sunday school, to worship, to other types of church events, and mostly to know Jesus. We want to invite them into a relationship with Jesus. But as a part of that, we invite them to join us for our Sunday school class. We invite them to come to worship with us. You're doing something with other people in your class. You invite them to do that, doing some other kind of church event. We invite them to come and join us for those things. But we don't want to do all of that and never invite them to know Jesus. We don't want to be like my friend Jonathan, who got to be a 19-year-old college student, and even though he grew up in the pastor's house and he grew up going to church every Sunday, nobody ever stopped to ask him, "Do you know Jesus?" And he didn't. Well, thankfully he does now, but yes, and thankfully he gave his life to Jesus, yes, but we don't want to leave that one out. So the fourth part is we want to make sure we invite them to know Jesus. So we're going to invest in their lives. And as we invest in their life and pour ourselves into them, we trust that somewhere along the way, God's going to open a door for an invitation to Jesus. That God's going to do that. And now, in this story with Philip, it's unfolding rather quickly. It doesn't work that way as well for us. It can. It can all unfold quickly, but it may take time. And I know some of you, I hear stories, you tell me about some people that you've known for a long time, and it's just taking time. It's slow. Well, okay, it's slow. Don't give up. Hang in there. Invest with some more intentionality. Invite with more intentionality. But we see this story unfolding in the text. And what happens is, Philip, instead of looking down at him like, "Well, who are you walking up beside me, riding? You know, this is not the way it goes." Instead of that, he says, "Well, no, I don't understand what I'm reading." And he invites Philip up into the chariot. And the opportunity to invest and to invite has just been opened. Philip took a risk, being obedient to the Spirit. But as he did so, it has opened a door to invest in this man's life, and before it's done, to invite him into a relationship with Jesus. So, telling you that all already before we get too far. Now here's what's happening. As we look at the scriptures, at verse 31 of Acts 8, the Ethiopian says, "Well, how can I unless someone guides me?" And so he invites Philip up to sit with him. Now, here's the passage of Scripture that he's reading. We find it in verse 32 and verse 33. And he gives us, Luke gives us this text out of Isaiah, but Luke gives it to us from the Septuagint. Now, you may go, "Huh? What does that mean?" The Septuagint is the Greek version of the Old Testament. It's not the Hebrew version, it's the Greek version. In some places, it reads a little differently, and I think maybe even that's what the man was reading, but we get it from Luke, from the Greek version, and then I'll emphasize the difference in what makes it significant in just a moment. But let's read those two verses, 32 and 33. "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And then the Ethiopian eunuch answered Philip, responded to Philip, "Tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" If you're one of those people who writes in your Bible, I know that's not all of you, or if you got your electronic version and you can highlight it, underline it, write a note by it, you know how that works. Verse 35 is a good one for you to mark, because it says this, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him." All right. So we've got all that out there. Now let me say this about it. So we encounter the text from Isaiah, which Luke gives to us from the Septuagint, the Greek version. And here's the significance, because the Greek version at verse 33 emphasizes the humiliation. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away, who will relate his generation. And now this is pointing us to Jesus. It's Isaiah pointing to that suffering servant. It's Isaiah pointing us to Jesus. And he's emphasizing the humiliation of Jesus. God's story. But here's where it gets to intersect with the Ethiopian's story. The Ethiopian man was a eunuch, which meant, and he was a God-fearing man, and he wanted to go to Jerusalem for worship. It's a long way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. But he's made the journey, and he's on his way home. How does humiliation connect? This man has traveled from his homeland down in the continent of Africa, up to Israel, to go to worship at the temple. But because he's a eunuch, he can't even go in the building. Do you think maybe he knows something about humiliation? Maybe he didn't even know it before he got there. Maybe he went thinking he would get to worship, but he gets there and discovers they won't let him in the building. Aren't you just thankful he's still reading the scriptures after being humiliated? Because a eunuch wasn't allowed in the temple by Jewish law. See, the Spirit's at work. He's got this man on this passage of scripture, and he has Philip come along who can explain it to him at an emphasis where God's story intersects with his story. And if we'll trust the leading of the Holy Spirit as we're investing in people's lives and the door opens to invite them, that God, that the Spirit of God will put you in a connection with your friend so that you see your friend's story and God's story, and the Spirit will show you how to connect. Now, I just heard some of you in your brain go, Pastor, I can't do that. I'll give you a secret. Neither can I. But God can. And God chooses to use you and me. And guess what? God doesn't have another plan. He doesn't have a backup plan. You're it. You're His A-line plan. Now, that may just terrify all of us, but that's God's plan. That's the way God does it. But you need to know something else from this passage of Scripture. He preached Jesus to him, is what it says in this translation. He talked to him about Jesus. But here are these words. In verse 35, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth." Well, okay, yeah, you're going to open your mouth. You've got to open your mouth to talk. Yeah, that's the way it works, right? Some of you are more acquainted with that than others. You know what it's like. Some of you, your mouths are open most of the day. It's all right. Here's what this is saying, though. That open his mouth is phraseology to mean the Spirit was upon him to give guidance to what he was going to say. The Spirit was going to direct what he was going to say to share from Philip, that Philip would say to this Ethiopian man. That's how you are able to connect God's story with your friend's story so that they see what God is doing. Because the Spirit was not reserved just for Philip. And the Spirit is not reserved just for preachers. The Spirit will come upon all of us who are willing to open our mouths and share Jesus with somebody else and direct what we're saying to them. Because my hunch is there are probably a lot of us in this room, and we are comfortable with identifying some people that we don't know their spiritual condition. And we can intercede for them. We can talk to Jesus for them. And matter of fact, we might even do it more than four times a week. We might even do it daily. And, oh yeah, we can invest in them. We like to have coffee or dessert. And if we have coffee and dessert together, even better. Or you know, we're going to do something together. And that's fun. And I enjoy doing that. But I'm going to make the move from just investing to inviting. I'm going to move from just talking to them about the stuff of the season, the weather's changing, the leaves are falling, why is it 80 degrees at the end of September? Just be thankful. It'll soon go away. And doing that, why? To actually having some kind of a spiritual conversation with them. It is a challenge. I struggle to do that at times. How do I take this conversation and move it in? I struggle. I understand that. Some people, it just kind of flows out of them. When I see people do that, I'm like, boy, I wish that it flowed out of me like that. And it doesn't. But what I'm hopeful about and what this passage of Scripture drives home to me is that we can trust the Spirit of God to use us to share Jesus with others. To take God's story and their story and connect them. And then what happens is they have their own God's story. For you see, what happens is that we end up finding this man being baptized. Well, we don't just baptize people. People must profess faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we don't get the whole story, I don't think, from Luke of everything that went on. But he tells us in a summary fashion that Philip opened it from that place forward and preached Jesus to him. He explained Jesus to him. He explained all of that. He probably talked about baptism because he gets to the water and there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And explains, and we discovered that the man is baptized. Meaning he's given his life to Jesus to be a follower of Jesus. And Philip has explained enough to him to get him started and going on his road of discipleship in Jesus. Because he was willing to be used by the Spirit of God to open his mouth to talk to him. I want you to know this. You can do the same thing. You can do that. Oh yeah, you need the Spirit of God. So do I. So did Philip. Philip got his name in the Bible. Well, we wouldn't have this story without the Spirit of God. We wouldn't have this story without the Holy Spirit prompting him to go to that road in the middle of the day to encounter this man riding on a chariot. The chariot going slow enough he could walk beside him to hear that he was reading out of Isaiah and said, "You know what you're reading? No, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? Why don't you get up here and sit down with me and explain it to me?" And from that point forward, Philip opens his mouth, the Spirit leading him, and he explains Jesus to him. The Spirit wants to use you to do that with the four you identify. As you pray for them, and as you invest in them, and you invite them. Who are your four? Here's my hope for what happens today. Three things. First of all, it's this. Is that you and I both will renew our commitment to the 4x4 challenge. Having a card, keeping it with us, people that we're praying for, people that we're going to pray that God will open doors that we can invest in their lives and that God will open the door for us to invite them to know Jesus. That we'll be committed to doing that. I hope that you leave today encouraged that you can tell God's story and your story and let it intersect in the life of your friend. You can do it. Every one of us can do it. And that you'll know this, that God can make a difference using you in the life of your friend. Just like God used Philip. You may go, "Wow, that's a great story. It's a wonderful story, but it's in the Bible. I, I, I'm not Bible kind of guy. I don't rise to that level. No. There's a whole lot that's gone on since the Bible and lots of people being used of God. But God can use you in the life of your friend. You know, over the years, I've been to a lot of conferences. I don't go to as many anymore. I don't remember most of what I've heard at most of them. But I never will forget this one. I was in a small group session at a conference. And this was not the topic of the session. But the session leader started with this. How many of you are going to heaven when you die? Well, as best I know, most of us in the room raised our hand because we're pretty confident. I know Jesus, I'm going to heaven. I couldn't vouch for anybody else in the room. His reply to our raised hand was this. Take someone with you. You think maybe God could use you even in one person's life to know Jesus? You may be going, I don't know about four. What if it's just one? That's awesome. But it's not us. It's God. But just as Philip was obedient to the leading of the Spirit, so we have to be obedient as well.